Canons of Dort, First Head of Doctrine, Article 6 and 7. Election is part of predestination and purely of grace. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the first three articles of the first head of doctrine of the Canons of Dort teach that all men from the fall of Adam and Eve have been inherently sinful and under the just condemnation of God. The next two articles teach that election was grounded upon the love of God, not on any good in man, and that God reveals his love through his word. So election is tied to love and to the gospel. Today we will open up the doctrine of election some more and consider two more topics, which are our headings. First of all, God elected whom he would save and whom he would reject. And second, God elected you out of pure grace and for his pleasure. Our goals are that seeing the richness of God's love in electing you, you will rejoice in your election and you will endeavor to be used by him to call the elect into his kingdom. First, God elected whom he would save and whom he would reject. Let's read together Article 6 of God's eternal decree. Together, the fact that some receive from God the gift of faith within time and that others do not stems from God's eternal decree. Thus says the Lord, who has been making these things known from long ago. In accordance with this decree, God graciously softens the hearts, however hard, of the chosen ones and inclines them to believe. But by just judgment, God leaves in their wickedness and hardness of heart those who have not been chosen. And in this especially is disclosed to us God's act, unfathomable and as merciful as it is just, of distinguishing between people equally lost. This is the well-known decision of election and reprobation revealed in God's word. The wicked, impure, and unstable distort this decree to their own ruin, but it provides holy and godly souls with comfort beyond words. The wicked distort it, the godly rejoice in it. First of all, God eternally decreed or predestined before the world began whom he would elect to eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. Let's remind ourselves about that from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Together, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So election is absolutely, unquestionably, abundantly clear in the scriptures. God chose us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. What is important to note here is that you were not saved by election, though. Rather, you were elected in order to be saved. God elected you in order to save you. Election itself is not salvation. And you will see over the next several weeks why that is important. That election is not, you're not saved by your election. Now, God prepared the way for the salvation of the elect. And he predestined every single detail, even the minutest details, he predestined. Do you know that God decided who your parents would be, in which country you would be born, which church would be near your house where you lived and you heard the gospel, or maybe which missionary would come to your area if you're from a foreign country, which language you understand so you would get the gospel, who your minister would be even today? Every detail has been predestined by God. Nothing happens by accident. Even Jesus, the Bible says he was slain when? Before the foundation of the world. The Father with the Son entered into a covenant of redemption, and the Father gave the Son a certain number that would be his possession forever after he redeemed them. And then in the space of time, God softened the heart of elect and gave them faith. He gave them faith so that they would put their trust in Jesus Christ. Even that was part of what God predestined. It does not matter how hard the heart of the sinner is or was. As long as that person is the elect of God, God is able and indeed does soften his heart when God is ready. And that's important. Sometimes he softens a sinner's heart quickly. Maybe sometimes for some it takes longer. Sometimes he softens the heart when they're old. Sometimes he softens their heart when they're young. Sometimes he does so when they are sick. Sometimes he softens their heart when they're well. Sometimes he softens the heart just before that person dies. It's up to God. He works at his time to soften the heart so that that person will receive what Jesus did by the faith that God gives to that person. And that's how that person is saved. Just as true, and this is what we call the second aspect or the second predestination, why God predestined those who would be saved, we also see this other side of predestination, where God decreed from all eternity to leave alone wicked hearts in their hardness. These are the ones he did not elect to save. This is the doctrine called reprobation. Reprobation is God decreeing to leave some wicked people in their own desires, and he does not give them eternal life. Of course, it's his choice to give his gift to whomever he wishes. But it's also true at the same time that he does not give them eternal life because they don't want eternal life. They don't desire it. They don't ask for it. There's nobody who truly asks for eternal life that God says no to. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 18, and let's read together. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. The phrase hardened there means that God leaves them in their sin to their own devices. And they become hardened. So it looks that way. It's a language to use to show the effect of God leaving them alone. Ultimately, they become hardened. But look at Romans 1:28 now together. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Now you see this fleshed out a little bit. God simply left them. They did not want God. They rejected God. And God left them and they became hardened. God did not go into their hearts and harden their hearts. That would be sinful. God is not the author of sin. God does not sin. But when God left them alone, by the way, you can see this very clearly taught in Exodus, where God is interacting with Pharaoh. You see God sometimes would say, he hardened Pharaoh's heart, meaning he left them alone. And then you see the actual work, the actual sin, where the Bible says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart against God. Now, how do you respond knowing that God elects some to life and he leaves some in death? He elected some who would be saved through Jesus Christ, and he left some behind who rejected him, who would have no interest in him, who didn't ask for salvation. The first thing to note is that you should find comfort, joy and comfort in the doctrine of election. Know that salvation is in Christ alone, who shed his blood for complete remission of all your sins. And left to yourself, you would be lost. And that's why you should sing God's praises, that he elected you and he gave you faith to receive the work of Jesus Christ. Of course, you can never perfectly praise God because you can't fully grasp the wonder of your election like you should. And then also we have this little problem of trying to take credit for what God does for us. So our worship and our praise is never perfect. But we should endeavor to leave every credit at the feet of the Savior and rejoice that he has elected us out of love. He could have justly left you in death. So joy and comfort is what you should learn about your election. Second, and very important as well, be patient when you take the gospel to someone who does not immediately believe. Be faithful and wait on God. Don't think someone is not elect because they reject the truth a few times or a few hundred times. For most people, salvation is a long process of time. Be patient. Four, reprobation is also God glorifying. God's not unfair. Reprobation is, there's nothing unfair about that. In fact, reprobation is fair. It's giving people what they properly deserve. The wicked person dies and goes to hell, and when that happens, it shows God's justice, and you must praise God for his justice as well. There's a fourth lesson here. You must not brush aside this truth because you don't like it. Many people don't like this. They think God should save everyone. If he saves some, he should save all. But God is just, even as he is merciful. And you must also remember that the man who's condemned to hell is condemned because he doesn't believe. He's not condemned because he's not elected. He's condemned because he doesn't believe. The fault is with him. We come to our second point. God elected you out of pure grace and for his pleasure. God elected the ones he would save, and he elected the ones he would reject, or we call it reprobation. However, the sin of the cause of hell is in man. Now, let's look at the little bit more detail about the ones he does elect to save. He does so out of pure grace and for his pleasure. And that's what we find in Article 7. And let's read this about election. Together, election is God's unchangeable purpose by which God did the following. Before the foundation of the world, by sheer grace, according to the free good pleasure of God's will, God chose in Christ to salvation a definite number of particular people out of the entire human race, which has fallen by its own fault from its original innocence into sin and ruin. Those chosen were neither better nor more deserving than the others, but lay with them in the common misery. That means, in short, they were all just as bad. Those who were elect and those who were not. First, God elected condemned sinners out of grace to give them eternal life. And since it was from grace, which is an unearned gift, it is evident he didn't have to elect everyone. Those chosen were not better or more deserving than Adolf Hitler or Pol Pot or Idi Amin or Putin, your dictator, or your terrorist here. Most people, when they hear the name of, they think of Saddam Hussein and his cruelty to his people, or Bin Laden. They think those are absolutely the worst. Well, the fact is, you are not more deserving than any one of them to be saved. You realize that. As awful as they were. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, and we read these verses together. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage. In other words, you were slaves, but the Lord loved you. We touched on that already. It is his love that caused him to choose you and to bring you out. Sometimes people boast about what the color of their skin is, as if they were superior, or their country of origin, or their ethnicity. Well, God doesn't reject people because of the color of their skin, or their ethnic origin, or their nationality. In history, there were times when most Christians were people of color, and in North Africa, and in the Middle East. And there were times when the whites in Northern Europe were cannibals, some of them. Now whites have become the minority again of Christians. That didn't matter to God. The color of the skin, the country you're from, what a difference in how we like to view things. We think we're superior because of our country, that our money has more value than others, as if we are somehow more intrinsically valuable. Not with God. God is saying, you're all a bunch of sinners. You deserve nothing but damnation. But I chose you. I chose you from slavery to sin. Next, God elected, and better put, out of grace, a definite number because of his good pleasure. Ephesians 1, verse 4, let's read it again together. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It wasn't a random thing. It was a choosing. You don't hear a girl say, the first man I see will be my husband. If a girl says that, you would want to know what's going on in her mind. That's not how you will choose. The woman chooses the one she will marry. She will look and see, do they have the qualifications that God has outlined? She picks one from many. She chooses. And that's how God chose us, the one he loved. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says together, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. For by grace, you got something you did not deserve. It's an unearned gift. And God did so for his good pleasure. It pleased him to do. Third, God elected through grace and for his pleasure a definite number. A definite number. The number of the elect is so precise that not one can be added to it, not one can be removed. Do you see how this implies security? These doctrines are related. If God can't add any more, or he can't remove any, that's security. That's the preservation of the saints. For God elected through grace and for his pleasure some who were no better than those he did not choose. We've touched on this already, but this is quite hard for many to accept because they think that they are morally less troublesome than other people, and that is why God chose them. But they don't know the scriptures who say this. They were all wretched and blind. No one knew the way to God. God had to open up their eyes, as you see in Romans chapter 3. So some elect could not, the truth is some elect could have been more sinful than the non-elect. And you'll see when we talk about Jacob next week, Jacob was quite a wicked man. That his brother says, two times you scammed me in the worst way. And yet God chose Jacob. Now, not saying Esau was good, but Jacob was no angel, not in the least. Let's continue reading the second part of this article together. God did this in Christ, whom God also appointed from eternity to be the mediator, the head of all those chosen, and the foundation of their salvation. And so God decreed to give to Christ those chosen for salvation and to call and draw them effectively into Christ's fellowship through the Word and Spirit. That is, to grant them true faith, to justify them, to sanctify them, and finally, after powerfully preserving them in the fellowship of God's Son, to glorify them. So God, number five, God elected through grace and for his pleasure in Christ. God elected through grace and for his pleasure in Christ. You know, there's no other way of salvation. Christ merited salvation for the people the Father had given to him. Of course, there are some who reject this, and they say that man had to choose Jesus for themselves. But in doing that, they put themselves above God, not realizing that God is the first mover, and God must give them the ability to choose. They only choose because God regenerated their heart first. No one would choose God without God working in their heart first. And that's what election is. There are others who say they feel cold and they can't come to Jesus, and they want to, but they can't. Well, that is precisely when they need to come to him. They need to have that sense of helplessness to cry out and say, I don't even want to do this, but I know I should do it. And cry out to God for help. And then there are those who would use election as an excuse to not exercise faith because they are in covenant families. And they said, look, I've been baptized, I've been raised in the church, everything's okay. Wrong. All men, before they are converted, are heading to hell, whether they're baptized or not. Every man must call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Your children need to call upon the Lord, and he needs to teach your baptized children to exercise that faith and hold on to Jesus Christ. And profess their faith in him. Don't use the fact that you're baptized as an excuse. Election is worked out with the Word, with faith, not by baptism. That's why we say election doesn't save you. Election doesn't save you. Number six, God elected through grace and for his pleasure to call and to draw those he elected in Christ. God draws them to himself. How? By his Word and his Spirit. And he gives them faith to receive his Word, which taught them about the work of the covenant keeper, how he lived for them, how he died for them. And God then adopts the ones who are coming to faith in him. He saves them and he sanctifies them and he preserves them throughout this life. And one day he will glorify them. Remember, we said election is the first link in that golden chain. All those doctrines are tied together. If you are elected, you will be sure he will call you by his word and his spirit. And when he calls you by his word and your spirit and you confess your sins, he justifies you. He counts your sins upon Jesus. And once he justifies you, he will sanctify you, clean you out, wash your sins away. And the ones who he sanctifies, he will glorify on that day of judgment. And all of this will take place in Jesus Christ. You see, election is not some distant doctrine that you say, oh, I'm elected, I'm okay, I got my ticket. It doesn't matter what happens. No, in fact, election is the first step. The first step in your Christian life. The question then comes, how do I know if I'm elected? And I'd say, that's a terrible question to ask. It's a wrong question to ask. Instead, you should say, do I believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, you are elected. Case closed. If you don't believe in Jesus, you need to learn about him. You need to learn who he is, what he came to do. You need to learn who you are and how you are in the condition you are in now. When you learn about Jesus, you will believe in him. There's no elect birthmark that you can point out and say, oh, I've got the mark, I'm okay. No. You need to call out to God and ask him to help you to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to go to his word. You need to plead for his Holy Spirit to work in you. 8. As a Christian, don't go around asking people if they feel elected. What should you do? Tell them to repent and believe in Jesus so they could have eternal life. And if they reject Jesus, that they're heading for eternal and certain death. Look at the last part of this article. Let's read together. God did all this in order to demonstrate God's mercy to the praise of the riches of God's glorious grace. As Scripture says, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. And elsewhere, those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now we'll only focus on the first couple of lines there because the rest is really a summary of what the author just said. And here is the main point of the first couple of lines. God elected through grace and for his pleasure, that seeing God's mercy, the redeemed might praise him. See, God didn't just elect people to prove his power, though his power is seen in election. God did this because he wants man to praise him. And in fact, man's election shows his need to praise God even more. Man knows that he would never choose God. He didn't even know he needed God. But God worked in him. Elected him, worked in him, showed him the gospel, had the Spirit of God work in him so he would believe the gospel and he would have new life. And what's the response? Praise. Let's conclude. God worked all the details of election, every single detail, and he did so before the foundation of the world. Everything was predestined by God. And God did this wonderful work of election out of pure grace. You did not deserve something good that you received. And for his own pleasure, he gets praises out of his work. And he did it in his time in history, whenever he was ready in that person's life. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, humble yourself before the one who graciously elected you. God chose you when you couldn't choose him, and when you didn't want to choose him, and he did everything you needed to be saved, even giving you faith, the hand and mouth of your souls by which you could receive the salvation he offered in Jesus Christ. Then rejoice in the blessed hope you have as a Christian. Worship him. Sing like you were chosen, that you were chosen after you were sitting on a dung heap, cleaned up, married to a king, given a royal name. Pray like you have access to heaven. You do. That's how the elect must live. And then, of course, you must tell others. Tell others that God loves the world, not just the Jewish people. Be a part of working out someone's election. God is pleased to use human agents to work his plan. Remember, every bride is expected to have children, or at least try to have them. That's what God expects from you. You can't save a single soul. You can't physically or work in a way to bring or save someone and bring them into the church. But you surely can tell them the gospel. You surely can invite them in so that they can come and hear and be saved. And finally, if you're not a Christian, know you will be condemned if you refuse to accept salvation in Jesus Christ. I plead with you to ask God to give you eternal life. He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you for loving us and choosing us. Help us to live like the precious bride of Christ, humbling ourselves before you, multiplying, praising your holy name. We know, Father, that without that choice, without you choosing us, we would never choose you. We only respond. Keep this in mind as we pride ourselves in our accomplishments. That will break them down and put them in place, knowing that all that we are and have is because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen.